I'm on A here, Paulden. All right, Matthew chapter 10 again. And for the sake of time, I will just read three verses. Matthew 10, verses 34, 35, and 36. Where our Lord said these words, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." That's our fifth sword. "For I am come to set a man at variance." Remember that means to cut apart, to divide in two. Figuratively, it would be to alienate. So what our Lord is saying, "For I am come to set a man at alienation against his father." In other words, as we would put it in more proper English, "I am come to alienate a man from his father."
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
"For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and so that no one should think," but this is an exclusive list, that's all, you know. He says this, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household."
Exactly.
So we are, as I said, at the fifth sword. And I want to preface this message with this. I've mentioned it, but I want to say it again. The fourth sword, that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It so conquers the heart and mind of the believer that the fifth sword, this one we're looking at, though difficult, to say the least, that's almost like an understatement, you know, multiplied. That this fifth sword, though difficult, this fifth sword is a manifestation of God's grace in people.
Yes, sir.
Let me stop there and say that. You remember, I think it was Paul, Barnabas was the first one. When it Paul and Barnabas, then it later was Paul and Silas. I think it was Paul and Barnabas said, The book of the Acts, Luke records that they went into this one city, and it said when they had seen the grace of God.
Yeah.
Think about it. When they had seen the grace of God. Luke's not talking about them reading the Bible.
No.
He's not talking about them finding it in the Word. Certainly, you see the grace of God in the Word of God.
Yeah.
But what Luke is saying there, the context is when they seen these people, and the way that the Word of God had changed their hearts and minds. That's what it means. When they had seen the grace of God, they basically encouraged them to continue in that grace. And I'm here to say that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, does things publicly.
Yeah.
He does things publicly. Many things may happen in private, but as Earl used to say, that will leak out on you.
Yeah.
It'll leak out on you. And when God Almighty shows an individual grace, He may show that individual grace when they're alone, by themselves, at home, at night. But eventually, given enough time, that will begin to leak out on that person.
Yes, sir.
What is the manifestation of this division? Remember, there are three things. Here it is. Those whom the gospel conquers, they won. One, they identify with Christ.
Yes.
Two, they identify with Christ's word.
Yes, sir.
And three, they identify with Christ's people.
Amen.
Now we'll go back to that and we'll look at these in particular. But let me stop and say that most of what I have said so far, I think it was last Sunday, I used the word negative, simply for the lack of a better word. Most of this, Joe, just seems to be kind of depressing. When you care about someone, even when you have, as Paul would call it, and it's translated in our English version, the KJV, natural affection.
Yeah.
And Paul speaks of people who are without even natural affection.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But this thing of even natural affection, when you have natural affection, we call that love.
Yeah.
It's not agape love. It may be accompanied by agape love. It may not be accompanied by agape love. But yet natural affection is this philios. Yeah. To be fond of something or someone. And to have that these relationships are husbands, wives, siblings, cousins, uncles. You know what I'm saying? To have this natural affection and all of a sudden to have God step in and split that down the middle, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. But let me say this. That does not mean there is no hope.
No.
Our Lord said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. But God in his free sovereign grace conquers foes.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
This is not a set rule. I have to be set at variance against my father. That's not what he said. Okay. He doesn't say you have to. A mother has to be alienated from her daughter. He doesn't say that. But this is what he came to do in some instances.
Yes, sir.
But this is not so of all instances.
Yeah.
Let me just give you an example of this. There was a man named Saul of Tarsus. You know who that man is?
Yeah.
That man was a murderer.
Yes, sir.
He was a murderer of God's people. He was one of those people, when you read this verse, you could say this spoke of him. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Here was a Jew having other Jews put to death.
Yeah.
Why? Because they had done some great crime? Because they had stole money? Because they lied or cheated or committed adultery? Any of those things? Those things may have been true. But that wasn't his problem, David, with these people he had put to death. Of his own race, his own kind, I would be better to say. Of their own Jewish, his own Jewish people. Here was a man that was having believers put to death because of their public identification with Christ.
Amen.
And guess what?
Yeah.
God saved him.
Amen.
God saved him.
Sir.
So I'm here to say there is hope.
Yes.
Don't ever say, well, I've got a spouse or I have a son or a daughter or I have a mother or a father and they're totally adverse to my identification with Christ. And it seems like this truth has split us right down the middle. That may be true. But God's still able.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If they're one of God's elect, He will.
Amen.
He will. But that does not take away from the fact, think not that I'm come to send peace. Because it does still happen. And if God does split a family, it may be for good. And I don't mean for good as compared to evil. I mean good forever. It may be done forever. The whole point is, that is God's business.
Yes, sir.
Now this is not some new thing. As a matter of fact, time as we know it concerning the Adamic race had not existed for very long with humans here before this truth of verse 34, 35, and 36 comes right to the forefront, doesn't it? Cain does what to Abel? Kills him. Why? Because Abel was mean to Cain? Because Abel had somehow offended Cain? No. It was over the truth of the person, that's what it boils down to, over the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was over blood sacrifice,
yep,
compared to human effort. The first human murder that ever took place was a manifestation right here. This is God's intent. But this was God's intent. Now, God didn't split Adam and Eve, but God split Cain and Abel. Didn't he? And Cain ended up killing Abel, and you know what happened? Then Cain split from Adam and Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
Adam and Eve didn't have to run him off, Joe.
No.
Did he? They didn't have to run him off. They didn't say, you're a bad son. No, he left.
Yeah.
And he found someone that was like himself, that he could live with.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think he found two of them, if I'm right, if my memory serves me right. And the old proverbial question is, well, where did Cain get his wife? And you know what I tell people? He met her at Walmart when he went to sell those vegetables. Now, let me tell you, if somebody asks you a question like that and they're serious, give them an answer like I just gave you. Because that's all they deserve at best. You see, people come up with these frivolous, stupid things. Why? Not because they really want to know the facts, because they're trying to avoid the truth of the whole matter. Cain killed Abel, not because of anything wicked in Abel, but because Cain hated the truth of God. Amen. And that's what, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. The first brothers were split and murder took place because of this, and I called it this, precedent. That's the precedent right at the get-go, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Right at the get-go. This is no new thing. It's no new thing. Now, before I go to these three things in some detail, I've mentioned this, but let me deal with this for just a few moments. These three things, that is what? Identifying with Christ. Identifying with Christ's word. And identifying with Christ's people. These things are not optional. Okay, they're not optional. We'll look at why that's so. They're not multiple choice. I'll take one or two, but I don't like the third one, or the first one, or the second one, or whatever. They're not multiple choice. Think about this. They're not take it or leave it options. That salvation, which is of the Lord. That's a phrase a lot of grace people use. Why do we use that? Because that's what the Bible calls it. That's what Jonah said when he realized that salvation was what? Of the Lord. That's why he said salvation's of the Lord. God did it. He couldn't do it, Joe. He couldn't do it. God did it. And somebody say that was a type or a symbol. No, that was real. He was in the belly of that fish and would have died there had God not brought him out of there. That's just the way it would have been. That would have been, his body would have rotted there, and of course you know what would have happened. This is not multiple choice. That salvation which is of the Lord is indeed of the Lord.
Amen.
Thus, it includes all that the Lord ordained for salvation. You don't get to pick and choose what parts of it you want and then get the glory to follow in the end. But let me also say, it's not just a matter of, all right, here's three things, I choose those three things, now I've got it. Remember also, it's not just a checklist.
Exactly.
Well, I've publicly identified with Christ, I identify with Christ's word, and I identify with Christ's people, check, 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 got those, I'm done with that now. That don't work either.
No.
It don't work either. This is not how one gets saved. This is not how one keeps saved. But this is a manifestation of those God has saved.
Amen.
That's what it is. Now, first of all, when the gospel comes in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, it conquers the heart and mind and brings every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Christ is central in this. You might ask the question, do we love Christ more than we love God's people? We better.
Yeah.
You better.
Yeah.
But this is not about a scale,
no.
You see. Yes, Christ is to be loved supremely above all else.
Sir.
Because God's people may fail.
Oh, yeah.
God's people do fail.
God's
people all too often offend one another and do wrong to one another.
You're right.
And sometimes those differences in this life, David, may not be resolved.
Yeah.
You know that?
That's true.
They may not be. Paul and Barnabas had such a disagreement that they split up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Joe, they refused to work together anymore.
That's
what it boils down to. Does that mean one or the other was lost? No. It has nothing to do with that. Yet this is what men want. Well, tell me who's really right and who's really wrong. Why? Because we want our little checklist.
There you go.
We'd like to see if we fit in the checklist. Remember, it's not just a checklist. It is this. and ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
You see, it's not just checking off a checklist. It's continually being a part of those three things.
Yes, sir.
From the time it starts, it never stops.
Exactly.
Never stops. First of all, I say that the gospel, the sword of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit of God, when it conquers, that these people identify themselves with Christ, and they will do so publicly. That's what he says in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me. What's the next? It's not, that sounds good enough, right? But that's not all he said, is it? Well, I'll just confess him at home. I mean, I don't need anybody else to know. That's not the point. Whosoever there shall confess me, what? Before men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But to every coin there is another side.
Yes, sir.
But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, one of the things that struck me about this is our Lord then didn't start giving a list of what it is to confess publicly and then what it is to deny publicly.
Right.
Now, that's true. He didn't give a list, correct? Now, this is going to be my opinion. You want to disagree with it? You certainly have that right because it will be Walter's opinion. I think you'll be wrong if you disagree with me. Penny's got a little thing on one of our cupboards that says, let me get this right. I was wrong once. I thought I made a mistake. That's me. No. This is my opinion. It's true he doesn't give a list. But my opinion is the reason he didn't give a list is because we love lists.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we can try to place ourselves in that list, well, I'm okay. Well, remember, Peter denied the Lord what? Publicly.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
But he was still one of God's. But it wasn't a way of life for him.
Exactly.
Was it? It wasn't a way of life for him. But on the other hand, you could say Judas could have checked off the list. I've identified with Christ, I identified with His Word, and I identify with these people. And he was a devil from the beginning.
Exactly.
That's why we don't have just a list.
Yeah.
You see. That's why when it says, he that taketh not his cross, it is a, here's a list of what crosses are. Personal crosses.
Yeah.
Did he? He didn't give a list. Why? Because we love those lists.
That's it.
And if we can somehow find ourselves in one or two points of the list and then find somebody else outside of one or two points, then we think we've settled the matter. But let me just say this about he that taketh not his cross. That's not your own personal Calvary.
No.
You never had a personal Calvary, and you will never have a personal Calvary.
That's right.
Even if you're a reprobate, you'll never have your own personal Calvary.
That's right.
If you're a reprobate, you'll have the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And that ain't a Calvary. This ain't talking about, this is talking about a cross, a burden to bear. Whatever that burden is.
Yeah.
He didn't give a, well, but you know, I'm just so sick. Huh? Now, am I preaching against sickness? No. And if you think that's what I'm saying, you really don't get it. But sickness is no excuse for not identifying with Christ, not identifying with Christ's Word, and not identifying with Christ's people.
Right.
Because you can identify with all three even if you can't publicly gather with them.
Exactly.
There's some who's here this morning who have been in a place where they didn't have somewhere together with God's people.
Yeah.
But yet they identified with God's people.
Yes, sir.
This is why people, well, you must be saying, I got to go to church to be saved. Never heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, see, I'm of such a smart aleck attitude that immediately I would say, you know what I would say?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Just to spite them. Because you know what? First of all, the whole phrase is wrong. Go to church. You don't go to church. I say it, you say it, but it's wrong.
Exactly.
We don't go to church. We are the church.
Amen.
We go to worship together. We assemble together. Yep. We go to fellowship together. But we don't go to church.
Exactly right.
Most people, that's all they do, is go to church.
Exactly.
That's just one point. Here's the other point. There are a lot of churches out there to go to. You may be in the wrong one. They may be preaching error. They may be preaching lies on God. Joe, they may be, like you said last Sunday, preaching another gospel, which is not another, but is a perversion of the gospel of Christ.
Exactly.
They may be preaching, our Lord said, and Paul said, another Christ.
Exactly.
A different Christ than the Christ of God, which I will add and say is not another.
Exactly.
But is a perversion of who Christ really is.
Yes, sir.
So see, people love to do that. I mean, we've had one of our own company here point out to a person some particular wrong in their life, and then they try to turn it back on you. Well, I know what you used to be like. Well, let me tell you something. Even if I'm like that today, that don't justify you in God's sight.
Exactly.
Sin is against God.
Exactly.
Period.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if your mom and daddy's doing the same one. If your daddy's a drunk, and you get drunk, and your daddy says that's a sin against God, it's still a sin against God.
Right.
Even if your daddy's the biggest drunk that ever walked. You see, we love lists, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Notice there ain't a whole lot of lists given, is there? There's a list, but even then he says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. The list is not exclusive of just these people, you see.
Exactly.
There is a list there, but it's a very limited list. But then he says, a man's foes could be anybody. Right down to your own blood, flesh and blood.
Yes, sir.
No, they identify with Christ. Why? Because this is the way God saves people. It's not what I got to do to get saved or to keep saved. It's what happens to you when God saves you.
Amen.
It comes out on you.
Yes, sir.
It comes out on you. Turn to Psalms 32. Now, this is familiar to many of us here, maybe all of us, but I read it, Psalm, the 32nd Psalm, because I remember Earl, and I've heard others say it, maybe in using a slightly different language or words, but, you know, it's going to leak out on you. You see, there are times, it's not, Joe, that I'm trying to hide who I am as a believer. I'm simply trying to avoid some of the conflict that I know is coming anyway.
Exactly.
And we're even told, even the disciples were told, there's a time to shut up.
Yep.
Knock the dust off your feet and be done with it.
Yep.
Our Lord said, don't cast your pearls before swine. So it's not out there about harping on somebody to somebody until they finally give in. That ain't what it's about. That's what religion's about today.
Right. That's it.
The truth of God is just tell people the truth. You sow the seed. Somebody else will come along and water it. God Almighty will give the increase if there is one.
Amen.
Period. That's just the way it is. Look at Psalm 32. And notice how this begins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That sounds familiar, don't it? We're used to that from the New Testament, aren't we? Well, that's actually because it's a quote from this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now let me just stop and say there, if God's ever showed you even an inkling of what it's really like to be a sinner in his sight, you're going to know once you realize you're forgiven, that's a blessed thing.
Amen.
And you know what? You're going to want to tell somebody about it.
Yes, sir.
You know that? It's going to leak out on you.
Yeah.
But let me show you, that's not Walter's opinion about it. Look at what it says. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity.
Amen.
And in whose spirit no guile. Now that's something that's hard for me to relate to.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I don't always see that.
Yeah.
Because in me, as Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. But yet there are people, and that includes me or you, if we're in Christ. In whose spirit there is no guile. You remember our Lord said that to, was it Nathaniel?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Something along that line. But look, when I kept silence,
yeah.
Do we ever try to keep silent? You bet we do.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we? There are times when we just try to keep our mouths shut.
Yeah.
We may be obeying a command of Scripture, not casting our pearls before swine, or we may not.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's hard to do, is always determine, what am I doing here?
Exactly.
Because there's going to have to be some rejection. If there's to be some public proclamation. Our Lord said it's going to happen, right?
Yes, sir.
But look, when I kept silence, what does he say? My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Listen, when you keep your mouth shut when you shouldn't have, God will deal with you.
Yes, sir.
And let you know that you did wrong. If you're one of his.
Yes, sir.
For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And then that word means stop and think about that. Can you relate to that? When you kept silence, what happened? It just got worse.
Yeah.
It just got worse. No, we see that. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father that is in heaven. But you deny me before men. What did our Lord say?
Yeah.
I will deny you.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
That is no less true than, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God,
right,
not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, let me emphasize, so there is no misunderstanding about the graciousness of this. This is not how you get saved or keep saved, but this is what happens when God saves you.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, there are some people that you can confess Christ to, and it won't be adverse against you.
Yeah.
If you're identifying with the people of God. Identifying with the people of God. And how do I know that's what that says? Look at what that, this is here, this is true. Look at verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive, what's that say? You.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You, nor hear your words. I don't like the messenger. I love the message, but I got nothing to do with the messenger. It don't work that way. It don't work that way, does it? Our Lord said, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words. There we have the other two, identifying with Christ's word and identifying with his people.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
When you depart out of that house or that city, what did our Lord tell them to do if they don't receive you or your words? Shake the dust off your feet.
Yes, sir.
Now, what words are being said here? The words are the words about Christ. And ye shall be hated of all. Why? For my name's sake.
Amen.
You see it? That's the point. If somebody dislikes you because you're a horse's ass, it's because you're a horse's ass.
Exactly.
Now, can I be as plain? I want to make it as plain as I can. I don't want to dilly-dally around that. You understand what I'm saying. But if someone hates you because of your testimony, your identification with Christ and his word and his people, then they are on the wrong side.
Exactly.
No matter how much of a horse's ass you are.
That's true.
That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Because let me tell you, we are all unclean asses.
Amen.
According to Scripture. And as I have said it over and over again, the first time I ever heard Scott Richardson say that, he said, now you can take that any way you want.
Exactly.
You're an unclean ass.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like that, do we? No, our flesh don't, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. God's people, because we are saved by grace, we identify with Christ and his word and his people. And you can't help it when you try to keep quiet. God will make your bones roar day and night.
Yeah.
It'll leak out on you.
Yes, sir.
It'll leak out on you. David tried to keep the fact that he was anointed king as quiet as he could,
yeah,
didn't he? I know that would be a proper illustration or picture of Christ. But let me tell you, it also is not just a picture, it's a reality. I heard a fellow one time say, David was a picture of a believer. I'm trying not to be too picky, but he's not a picture of a believer. He was a believer.
Amen.
Now, he went on to say David was a picture of Christ. I agree with that. But David wasn't a picture of a believer. He was a believer. His life is our life. Our life was his life. And you remember what David's life was like, don't you? I preached a message on it. The ode to redneck trailer trash. Yeah. He would have made good redneck trailer trash. Rape. This is what happened in David's family. Rape, murder, incest, anarchy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh yeah.
And yet Scripture says, here's how you can put that Psalms 32, and yet David was a man after God's own heart. Now figure that one out. Huh? Figure that one out. You can't apart from a five-letter word. It's called grace. You can't apart from grace. Where God calls those things which be not as though they were. That's grace. We identify with Christ. First of all, we identify with Christ. Turn to John chapter 16. Look at what our Lord said here. Man, time is gone. John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Why did Jesus tell us what he did? Why do we have what we have in Matthew chapter 10? Here he's talking about the same similar thing. Look, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you. Why? Because they have not known the Father nor me.
Amen.
There's the root problem. The problem's not they're a murderer. The problem is they don't know God or His Son, therefore they murder those who do know the Father and the Son.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Their murder is the result of a more heinous crime.
Yeah.
That's not knowing the God of all glory.
Sir.
What is one of the first things our Lord said, the Spirit of truth, when He's come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The first one of sin is what? Now, most people will think of sin because a lot of men are drunks. Well, of sin because a lot of people are adulterers or fornicators. Of sin because a lot of people are thieves. That's true. But that's not the first thing that the Spirit of God convicts men and women about. He says he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me.
Amen.
Everything else is a result of that.
Yeah.
You see, if I could believe perfectly, I wouldn't have a problem with anything else.
Exactly.
If I could believe perfectly. My problem is this. Lord, I believe, but I still have unbelief.
Amen.
And I need help for it. I need help for it. No, we identify with Christ. Let's go on. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you them. And these things I said unto you, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is for your best. That's what it means. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of what? Sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And the first thing concerning sin is what? Of sin, because they believe not on me. As Tim James once said, the first thing that the Holy Spirit of God convinces you about is not your drinking or your smoking cigarettes. Because you can quit that without any grace whatsoever. That's right. You can quit smoking. You can quit drinking. People do it all the time. But one thing you cannot do, apart from God's grace, is believe on the Son.
Amen.
That's the one thing you cannot do.
Exactly.
It just doesn't happen. There is a public identification with Christ. And there's a public identification with His words. That's in Matthew 10, 14, and verse 27. Now turn to John 8. And give me just a few more minutes. John chapter 8. Am I in the right? Yeah, John chapter 8. Look at what He says in verse 37. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Why?
Yeah.
Because my word hath no place in you.
Amen.
You see, the problem wasn't the desire to kill Him. That wasn't the root cause. It was certainly a problem. Don't misunderstand me. It was certainly a problem, but it wasn't the root problem. The root problem was Christ's word wasn't in them. Because if His word would have been in them, what would they have done? They'd have loved Christ like Abraham loved Christ.
Amen.
They'd have done the works of Abraham.
Amen.
Well, I thought y'all didn't believe in works. Oh, you thought wrongly.
Exactly.
We had one of our number here. Was just told recently, well, ain't none of us can keep the Bible anyway. Now you think about this. Because we're all sinners and we're all depraved. That's basically the concept. We're all sinners. Sadly, people like that at best have forgotten. I hope that's all it is. Have forgotten. I hope it's not that they never knew. At best, people doesn't seem to get this. Yes, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. And God even ordained for us to walk in them.
Amen.
As the Apostle Paul would say, it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, if you can't do it, it's because God ain't in you. That's what it's at. Well, you know, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, my first thing is, who's trying to kill you with rocks? Sound like to me the wicked flees when no man pursues. I love that phrase. Penny gets aggravated at me because I throw that around freely. The wicked flees when no man pursues. That includes me, but I'm not going to confess it publicly to you. I'm going to confess that to God. You know what I'm saying. No, here's the problem. Let him that's without sin cast the first stone. Let me tell you something. Our Lord looked at that woman, and yes, He said, neither do I condemn thee.
That's right.
That's a glory.
Yes, sir.
But He didn't end with that.
Exactly.
Now, did He?
No.
No, sir. He didn't end with that. He said, now go and sin no more. What's He saying? Quit the adultery.
Yes, sir.
That's what He's saying. Yeah. Our Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you don't have repentance, you don't have Christ. If you got Christ, you're going to have repentance. Because you're going to need it.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to need it tomorrow just as much as you need it today.
Yes.
And you will have to continually repent, but repent you will.
Yes, sir.
You will have to continually identify with Christ. But if you're in Him, you will. You will have to identify with Christ's word. But if He's in you, you will. And you will have to identify with Christ's people. Because if He's in you, you will.
Amen.
You can't help it. Even if you can't physically gather with them, you're going to identify. You're going to say, that's the group of people I'm with right there.
Yes, sir.
That's what amazes me. You begin to talk about identifying with Christ's people, people automatically think about going to church.
Yeah.
Don't they? Let me tell you something. If you don't want to be here, you might as well not be here.
Exactly.
Now, there are people I'd love to see here.
Yeah.
I miss them when they're not here. There are people who are never here. I mean, never.
Yeah.
And I still like to see them here. But if they don't want to be here, they might as well stay where they're at.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. Husbands, you tell your wife you love her, but you don't want to spend time with her, and you see how that goes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Same way for the other. Wife, you tell your husband how much you love him, and they say, well, I just don't want to spend time with you, though. You know what that is? That's called a lie.
Exactly.
It's called a lie. Well, I'd have too much trouble happen if I do that. Then let the trouble fall.
Exactly.
That's it. Well, I just need to keep it quiet. If you're really one of God's, you'll try. But it won't last.
Exactly.
It'll leak out on you. And the sword of Christ will come down.
Yes, sir.
And it will hurt.
Yeah.
It may depress you. It may get you down. You may even get mad at God.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there. You may even get mad at God. But you know what? He'll get you over it.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get you over it. And once He does, you will say, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's hard. I bet you that was hard for Job to get out of his mouth. But he knew it was the truth.
Exactly.
Even though it hurt. Even though it hurt. Father, we know that this must be of grace. Because who is sufficient for these things? Not us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. Even though it is distinguishing, dividing grace. I thank You in Christ's name. Amen.